If blank was an Olympic sport, I'd get the gold medal.
Oh.
Got to fill in the blank there. See what we did? I've been watching so much Olympics, and I love it. I really do. But there's sometimes, like, you know, you watch certain sports, and you're like, I could probably do that. And then you start to, like, move around a little. You're like, nope, I can't do the synchronized diving. Not going to happen.
Yeah, there's a reason that those people are up there. But there are things in everyday life that you might be really, really good at. And if there were awards for that, if there was a gold for you to attain, Anna Zapp, you might get the gold medal in that.
Absolutely. So I was thinking about it. Mm-hmm. What would I always win the gold medal? Like, I would be proud to represent USA.
What would it be?
I can sleep anywhere at any given time, and I can fall asleep immediately.
Amen. You can. I've seen you do it.
I did it yesterday in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched out for you for
10 minutes. I'm the best partner ever.
Yeah. I said, Raven, I got to sleep for 10 minutes. I put my, literally right here in front of the microphone, I put my head down, sound asleep for 10 minutes.
I thought you were going to fall out of your chair at one point.
Yeah. Nope. I survived it. Gold medal. Get me on that podium.
That's right. Gold medal winner. That's for sure.
What would you get a gold medal at?
I can reboot the router and the modem in my house like nobody's business.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, I'm the only person that does it. My wife just yells out a complaint or shrieks or gasps or throws the remote to the television. And I know it's that time for me to go back to work. All right. For me to show my talent, my gift once again.
Now, do you count the 20 seconds or does your body just know because you're a gold medal Olympic router resetter?
Because I'm so good. Yeah. Yes. At this point, I can just unplug it. And then I just, you know, take a couple rounds around the house, you know, inside, you know, divert my attention for just a minute, come back, plug it back in. And I know it's going to be ready to go after that.
We asked on our Facebook page, what would you win the gold medal at?
Yeah.
Rachel wrote knitting, crocheting, and cross-stitching as a triathlon.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody has one of those friends of a grandma or an aunt that will just crochet anything whatsoever. And they just give them to you for every holiday. Like, I don't know what to do with all these pictures of my dog.
Josh wrote horseshoes. Cornhole was made for everyone, and everyone forgot about throwing heavy metal objects at metal poles, and that's where the real Olympian lies. Huh.
Wow.
I mean, okay. Richard said that he would win the gold medal in procrastinating.
I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a world-class athlete in that.
George said at drinking coffee. Oh, I think I could give him a run for his money. Tom would win the gold medal in snoring.
Not necessarily the one that you're proud to tell everybody about there, Tom.
Kathy said she would win the gold medal in mailing letters. What? What's the technique that you need for mailing letters?
Listen, I'm glad that somebody's still out there doing it, Kathy, all right? Keep those postal workers fed.
Oh, man. Jim wrote Blarney. What does that mean? Drinking? Is that drinking? Blarney?
I hope it's not sexual.
I hope not either. Carl wrote mowing. He's got the gold medal in mowing.
Well, come on over and take care of my lawn, Carl, because it looks terrible lately.
Heather wrote folding laundry and then never putting it away. She would win the gold medal on that.
You just drop it on the bed. Everybody knows that. If you fold it, you don't have to put it away.
Ugh.
The biggest and oddest things happening at the 2021 Olympics. It's Anna and Raven's Japantastic.
Woo! Strange things happening at the Olympics, and that includes all the weird things happening with the Russians. So,
the weird things happening with the Russians.
You might be wondering, like, what's up with that little flag, and how come it says ROC instead of Russia whenever they perform? So it turns out that Russia got in trouble for steroid use, so they aren't allowed to have their own flag shown or their anthem played. And that's why it has like ROC in that random flag whenever a Russian athlete is competing. So if Russia wins, instead of the anthem, they play the famous Russian composer Tchaikovsky. Here he is.
I guess that's cool.
I guess.
Best foot forward.
Yeah.
I mean, right? It's not like they just let anybody get up there.
But the big question is, let's say this happened in the U.S.
Right.
And for whatever reason, we could no longer play the American anthem. We couldn't play ours. What song would we play? It was posed online, and there were some good recommendations. One that was very popular was this. A little bit of Monica
in my life. Everybody dances every time.
Yeah.
We could do a conga line right around the metal stand. That would be fun, right?
Another option that was very popular was...
Hey now, you're an no.
It's
No. No.
Don't you think we would just be the laughing stock of the world if we played Smash Mouth at the Olympics?
Here's the thing. If you're over the age of 8, there's never a time that you should ever be asking for All-Star. I mean, seriously. If you're over the age of 8 years old and you're not in a Shrek theater, let it go. Let it go.
And then the one that logically would make sense if they're going to play Tchaikovsky is we should play Gershwin.
Mm.
Does make us sound classy. I also feel like I'm in a saloon.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to spit my tobacco over here in this thing, in this spittoon. No, I'm all set.
If you could pick a song and we couldn't play the Star Spangled Banger, what would we play?
Well, I want to make it all American, of course. So it's got to be money. It's got to be horses. Mm-hmm. I got to be a cowboy, Anna. Riding up and down Broadway on my own Studley Roy. And the girls say, save a horse. Right. I mean, that's what the world thinks about America anyway.
Is it?
Yes.
See, I don't think so. When I think of the world, what do they think about us? I think like our logical song would be.
All right. I like that one. I like that one. Miley Cyrus's midriff to represent us.
Right, but don't
representing middle America is Miley Cyrus's midriff.
But also, not for nothing, but you could change the words to that so easily.
Okay.
You could say, like, USA wins. Like, it's really easy to do it.
Yeah, that's why you're in the radio and not a songwriter, because obviously it wasn't that easy here.
Okay.
How about something that puts out the vibe, though, that says, like, I'm going to smoke you. Like I'm about to bring the heat to this. I want to play this as I'm walking into the competition.
Right, this is the opening ceremony.
Like, can we use this for the rhythmic ribbon thing that they do for gymnastics? Because I feel like sewn up at that point. If you're dancing to Tchaikovsky and we're dancing to Nelly, like, sewn up, we're going to win this.
As a side note, when they choose the music for, like, the floor exercises, why don't they pick cool stuff like Nelly Hot?
Didn't you ever see American Anthem, the thing where the guy does the uneven bars in the woods from the 80s? Mm-hmm. I mean, these movies, they explain these things.
If the USA had to pick a different song to play, I'm shocked that you didn't think of this, because I think nobody can argue that this should be our anthem.
Mm-hmm. Nice choice.
Right? Like, wouldn't that make sense?
You know, it's not often, Anna, but sometimes, just sometimes, I feel like you really, really hear me.
Yep.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You just have to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Rave it on our text line. Mm. If you use the squeegee at the gas pump to wash your entire car, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, that's a funny one, but we've all done it at least once, right?
I mean, like, if it's real dirty, I'm like, oh, it's real quick. It's taking a long time to pump it up. I'll just do it real fast.
I mean, if you got a lot of windows, think about it. I mean, right? If you got a big SUV or something like that, there's a lot of glass on there. If you clean all the windows with the squeegee, it's almost like taking your car to the car wash.
The free car wash.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, if I got to
wait all this time while it fills up, why not? I'm going to make some use of my time here.
Raven, if you wear a disguise to get your vaccine because you don't want your friends or family to know you got the shot, all I need to know about you.
What a strange world we live in nowadays, right? I mean, there was a time where the big thing was is nobody's going to get the shot. Now, if you've got the shot, it's which shot did you get? Now it's did you get the right shot? I mean, it's very stressful.
It is stressful. But reports are coming out of Missouri that this is becoming very popular, people disguising themselves because they don't want their friends and family to know. Here's Dr. Priscilla Frazee talking about it.
I've had several people come in to get vaccinated who have tried to sort of disguise their appearance and even went so far as to say, please, please, please don't let anybody know that I got this vaccine. I don't want my friends to know.
It's so crazy that we've made something like this so divisive in one way or the other, you know? It doesn't matter which side you're on.
It doesn't even matter because I don't want to talk about it that way because I'm so, you know, all of it is so polarizing. What I do want to talk about is if you're going to wear a disguise, right?
Yeah.
What are you wearing? What's your disguise, Raven? Like, if you're going to go somewhere and you're going to be in disguise.
Well, for me, I mean, popular disguise is always going to be something like I'm going to be an astronaut or I'm going to be, you know, Matt Damon and Martian. Those were cool looking spacesuits. Or Jedi. Jedi would be cool.
Yeah, because nobody recognizes you.
Yeah, I wouldn't normally typically wear a robe, but, you know, I'm not a robe guy.
But if you're wearing a disguise,
right,
you
as
wear
a Jedi,
robe.
It's completely acceptable
normal.
To do that. Right.
I would be Carmen Sandiego. I've actually been trying to figure out plenty of situations where it would be acceptable for me to dress as Carmen Sandiego with a giant red hat.
I was going
to
say, right? Is that what it is? Right?
Yeah.
I didn't watch the show a lot, but I know the character.
You know, she doesn't get the props she deserves for her fashionista ways, and I don't think think we wear giant hats enough anymore, and I think that it really is the perfect disguise.
Is that because she was always on the run or always you're looking for her?
She's always looking for
things.
I mean,
if she was standing still, probably more photos, more people would know, then more people would recognize the fashion and so forth. Given the fact that you're always searching for, nobody can really remember the outfit, come to think of it.
You know, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Oh, there she is. She's getting her vaccine.
Right.
There she's
Did
right
she
there.
Wear a nice outfit?
Yeah.
I don't know. She's already gone.
All right, 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. That was some serious drama yesterday with Simone Biles.
It's not over.
It's well.
I mean, this drama is going to be going on for a while now at this point. The discussion today, there's a lot of drama in the discussions today, as you would imagine.
Yeah. First of all, okay, here's what happened, if you've missed it. U.S. gymnast Simone Biles, she's kind of the face of the Olympics, right? And she had a shaky start. And then all of a sudden, she just walked out of the team event. And now she has withdrawn from individual events. Now, she says that it's her head wasn't right. She's not in the right mental state to perform. And here she is talking about it.
I've just never felt like this going into a competition before. And I tried to go out here and have fun and warm up in the back went a little bit better. But then once I came out here, I was like, no, mental is not there. So I just need to let the girls do it and focus on myself.
It's actually another time where she was talking about it basically in the run-up to yesterday.
Physically, I feel good. I'm in shape. Emotionally, that kind of varies on the time and the moment. Coming here to the Olympics and being the head star of the Olympics is not an easy feat. So we're just trying to take it one day at a time and we'll see.
So she said we'll see, but we'll see has already been decided that she's not coming back.
Right. It's the other side of the world.
Right.
So,
yeah.
They're ahead of time.
They're 13 out, whatever they are. They're far ahead. So I really want to say their names. And I want to say the names of Sunisa Lee, Jordan Chiles, and Grace McCallum. Because that is the three women that stepped up and still brought silver home for the USA. And the thing is like it's so much about Simone Biles that you don't realize that these other women is a lot of pressure on them to have to step up for her. But also, like, they did great, and it was all of their first Olympics. And you never even hear their names. Like, to me, that bothers me. I feel like they did such a great job, and we should be applauding them right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the different aspects of what media focuses on. That happens in every sport, though. It's not just like the big bad networks only mention Simone Biles and everybody else is a faceless person. Obviously, the athletes that go to the Olympics, it's not like your NBA or your NFL superstars or whatever. They're not trumpeted all over these things. It is the great moments and the things that they do at the Olympics that make them famous. That have the names out there. That's why you know Simone Biles, because of the things that she's already done. I will say, again, though, you know, part of being the best at anything is how you handle pressure. And I don't fault Simone Biles. I just want to say, I don't fault Simone Biles. If you are having anxiety or a panic attack, it doesn't matter what you're doing, whether you're doing, you know, vaulting or whether you're, you know, going to work on a daily basis, it's crippling. It will take you out of whatever it is you're doing. However, part of being a champion is how you perform under pressure. That is part of being a performer.
I get that. But I also heard this interview, and I don't know much about gymnastics. I mean, my cartwheel is pretty good right now. No,
it's a little sloppy.
Okay. Well,
let's be real.
It has nothing to, fine.
It's a little sloppy.
Fine. I'm not a very good cartwheeler. But I did hear that like there's a term for it that when you're not right in your head and you're going into those apparatus and you could seriously hurt yourself. You can kill yourself.
Well, of course.
So she knew it. And you could see her mouth it. She said it like you could read her lips. She says, I don't trust myself right now. And if she's got to take herself out for her own health and well-being, I get it. Like, what are we going to do? We don't pay her mortgage. Like, she's got to do what's best for her.
I don't know what the mortgage is. I just feel bad for the person that didn't make the team because that spot was full.
I know. It's just a tough situation to be in.
That's who I feel bad for. I mean, you know, I don't care that we didn't win gold. Whatever. They went. They did their best. It's fine.
I know. I really wanted her to do the individuals because I still think that Simone Biles on a bad day is better than every other country on a good day. But she's got to do what's best for her.
Yeah, I guess that's where we're at today.
Goosebaba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Laughter therapy. I could sign up for that. You always hear that laughter is the best medicine, right?
Sure.
Turns out that it's real. And there's certain kinds of laughter therapy. It's also known as laughter coaching or laughter yoga. and it involves forcing yourself to laugh in order to experience the physical and mental benefits associated with spontaneous laughter.
Wait a minute. So they're going to teach us different types of laughter?
Yep. It can relieve stress,
this
calm
is what
depression.
We need?
Oh, wait. Not only does it calm depression, Raven, it hardens your abdominal muscles in case you need a six-pack. You just got to laugh.
Of course.
So one of the things you can do is just listen to bad jokes and force yourself to laugh even harder. So, like, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
I know that one.
Okay, so yeah, no, but you have to laugh hard.
Orange,
laugh.
Who?
Orange, you glad I didn't say banana? That's it. Don't you feel good? Oh my God, look at my abs.
Laugh. My abs are tight when I do that, right?
Yeah. This laughter yoga is a little bit different and a little more reformed. Here's what we have to do. Listen to this lady.
Please.
The first step is clapping. We're going to begin by clapping with a full palm-to-palm, finger-to-finger clap. Let me demonstrate that and join in. It goes like this. Feel the energy massage in your palms and your fingertips. Excellent.
We did it.
Why do I feel like that specific type of clapping was that one that Nicole Kidman did at that one, like, remember that award show when everybody was like, what is wrong with their hands?
That's exactly
what
it looks like.
That's what I was thinking of, right?
She continues.
Now we're going to add a special rhythm. It's the cha-cha rhythm.
Oh.
I'll demonstrate and then join in with me.
Okay.
It goes like this. One, two, one, two, three. Join me. One, two, one, two, three, and yay!
Oh, my God. Tell me this is a free video that you got and you didn't pay anything for this. Please.
Wait, hold on.
Please tell me.
One, one.
One, two, three.
Yay! Right.
Yeah, no, that's great.
Let's continue.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we have more.
Remember, your body doesn't know the difference between genuinely laughing and just making laughing sounds. You still get all the same health benefits.
Yeah, fool your body.
So let's dive in. It goes like this. Ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. Join in. Ho,
ho, ho, ha, ha, ha.
This sounds like spring break.
Ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha,
ha, and yay.
Don't you feel better? Don't your abs feel so hard right now? Hey, hold on. There's one more thing we have to do. It's really important.
Are you serious?
We have to. It's so important.
Just wrap it up, please.
Raven, it's so important. We have to do it. We're going to laugh. We're going to feel so good.
The second step of laughter exercise is deep breathing.
Okay.
You may also wish to combine this breathing exercise with intentional laughter. Let me show you how that works.
Oh, please.
Breathe in like this. And then just laugh on the way down. Yay! Stupendous.
We did it! Don't you feel better?
I feel like that lady might be insane.
I thought so too. But she's got like 15 million views. Clearly she knows what she's doing.
I mean, clearly we're doing something wrong.
So I saw I don't want to say elderly woman, but a woman that she couldn't see over the steering wheel, and she was very small in stature and probably in her 80s, if I had to take a guess.
Okay.
She was at the grocery store, and I was parked, and I was loading up my car with the groceries, mm-hmm. and she backed right into, like, where you return the carts.
Okay.
She didn't even flinch. She didn't even flinch. Like, she looked so calm.
Yeah.
And, like, with her glasses, I could see, like, her glasses, and I could see her peek up, and then she just put it in reverse, and then she went, and then she just kept driving. And I know we talk about this all the time, and it comes up all the time, but don't
sure.
you think at some point, like, you should be retested? Like, there's got to be a point, and maybe it's not just an age thing.
Mm.
It could be, like, if you're just a really terrible driver.
Well, it could be vision. It could
yes.
be any of those things.
Yes.
Sure. Right. I mean, it was good that she looked up from behind the steering wheel to decide whether or not she had hit it. You know, like a wall or a person.
Right.
Right. I mean, that was good. And here's the thing. If you hit a person, they're probably laying on the ground. So she wouldn't be aware anyways
at
that point.
She wouldn't have seen them.
No. I'll tell you, my grandmother's car, the right-hand side of the car, was streaked in white. She had a bright blue car. and the entire side of the car. Later in life, of course, she was a good driver for many years, but later in life, the entire right side of her car was streaked with white from her garage.
Don't you think she should have been retested at some point?
Well, here's the thing is, Martha, my grandmother, she would have loved to have been retested. She always actually advocated for retesting, but I think it's just because my grandmother liked to pass tests. She liked to be the smartest one around with it. I'm dealing with this right now. Yesterday, I had to pay. I was telling you, I was whining to you about it. Not only did I pay a $203 ticket last week on a drive, or I got snagged speeding in an area where the highway switches over for all of a mile. Okay. It seems like a scam to me. Mm-hmm. But then I got hit with another assessment on top of it. Do you know that driving through another state, they hit me with a risk assessment diagnosis, they said. And it's an additional $300 that I had to pay for them to monitor me for the next 2 years as I drive through their state to decide whether or not I should be allowed to drive there, essentially.
I think that that's actually great. I think that
what do you mean that's great?
Because there should be things in place for when you come to driving. If you're not a good driver or you've gotten to a point in your life where you can no longer perform with the ability of a professional driver.
A professional driver.
One that doesn't hit grocery carts and keep driving. Like, there should be a test. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think about this?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I have seen my mother drive, and she's only in her 60s, and it's already terrifying.
Okay.
I can't imagine her driving in 10 more years.
All right. So what age would you say is the right age to start retesting?
70 at the absolute bottom limit, but ideally, I think 65. You retire, you have to keep driving, you have to prove it.
Right. Wait, so the day, the happiest day of your life, the one that you retire, you get to, you know, start enjoying your own dreams and whatnot.
And that's
when
possibly
away take away your keys.
Yep.
Right.
Enjoy your freedom. Just kidding. You have nowhere to drive to.
Don't go anywhere. Yeah. Oh, enjoy the bus lines.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to this. And I think that people get really testy when it comes to it, right?
Sure. Well, you're talking about taking away their ability to go places.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you actually think that there should be a retested age? You could let us know on our Facebook page. And if you're not friends with us yet, just search for Anna and Raven.
Badminton? You must be joking. Beach volleyball? Nope. This is the Producer Olympics. And there can only be one champion.
It's the Producer Olympics, Producer Sean versus Producer John. Those are our two producers, and they're trying to see who's the best.
Yeah, this is like Thunderdome. Two enter, only one leaves. Actually, we're not going to fire anybody after this. It's just filler, really, for this entire week.
It's true. Also, they're both very competitive, and both of them have done terribly throughout the week in their competitions. So far this week, they've edited audio terribly.
Not well.
They've delivered coffee through an obstacle course. Also didn't go great.
I mean, it was a better effort, anyways, than the editing was.
But today, we have set them up, and it's almost like we're tricking them, because we get a lot of very animated callers that call in every day, listeners.
What I would say is that not everybody that calls into the program is obviously thrilled with everything that we're doing every day and how we do it. So, you know, you've got certain people that call on. It's just like any other customer service line. You're going to deal with people that are disgruntled from time to time, Anna, and they can be difficult.
And we don't know how they answer these calls. We don't know what they say. So what we did is we figured out a way to truly test them when it comes to this. So, Ed, you have a reputation of being a known jerk around the office.
Is this how we're going to open?
Wow. I mean,
I'm just saying. Like, I know that because you're my friend. What?
Well, you know, we were in a meeting yesterday, Ed, and we brought up this idea. And immediately somebody was like, oh, just ask Ed.
Right.
It is true.
It's true. But, like, I know because you're my friend that you are a good person inside.
Yeah.
But when we were selecting somebody to be the annoying caller, everyone automatically said that you should be the only person that would do this.
I'm flattered.
Yeah, Ed, yeah. I get your brand of humor, just so you know. Mm-hmm. All right? So I understand, even if these other people don't. And I'm only saying that so that you won't be a jerk and talk about me when I walk away.
Right. Now, do you think that Producer Sean or Producer John have the ability to be able to handle a difficult listener? And I shouldn't use the word difficult, because that's not nice. An opinionated listener.
Particular. Listener?
Right. Pain in the you-know-what.
Persistent, particular listener.
Perhaps. But if I go full throttle, no. I could probably get tears if I take it to 11.
Can you try to get tears? Can you try?
Come on.
Well, I just want
to
see.
Well, I got to live up to this reputation, apparently, that I have.
Okay.
Would say, Ed, that the more important thing to me is that you don't give up, right? Because they may be able to deflect one or two or even three of your concerns or issues as a caller calling into the show. But it's the person that keeps going that usually breaks down the other one's patience. I want you to keep going for a little while. Is that all right?
I got time, and I've got anger, so we're good to go.
All right.
Knew we could count on you.
All right, but quick vote. Which one of them do you think you could probably break first?
I'm going to go with Sean. John was my first inclination because he's so mellow. But I think that mellowness is just going to help him just be like, don't harsh my buzz, bro.
It's a facade.
Yeah.
It's a facade, and then you volcano after.
Yeah. Actually, I disagree. I think that knowing John as well as I do now, I think that he cracks first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Definitely. We're going to find out. It's coming up next. We have pitted producer Sean against producer John, and only one of them can win the gold medal.
I love the idea of pitting two people against each other for our own amusement.
Yeah.
Is this what it was like to be an emperor?
Kinda, I think.
Mm.
I'm not really sure. Today's task, we have gotten production guy Ed, who is a known jerk around the office, to call and to fool the guys and pretend that he is a disgruntled caller, which we get several of them often, I guess.
I would imagine per hour, right?
I mean. Yeah, and the truth is Raven and I have no idea how Sean or John handled the calls because we're in a different room when we're on the air.
Shield us from ourselves, really.
Yeah, so first let's start with John. Here's how it went.
The Anna and Raven Show, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Why can't Raven talk about cats?
I'm sorry, say that one more time?
Why can't Raven talk about cats? All he does is talk about dogs and how much he loves dogs. What about the cats?
Well, you know what? Anna and Raven actually have a pet adoption thing
Anna,
going.
Why is her voice so annoying? Why can't you make her voice better? Aren't you the producer?
I am, in fact, the producer. You know, I'm sorry to hear that you're feeling that way, but let me tell you.
Do you have the equipment to change her annoying voice?
Well, you know what? I maybe. But first, let me tell you about this great event that Anna and Raven do for dogs and cats. It's actually called Anna and Raven's.
Talk about cats. They're an afterthought for him. Why is it always dogs, dogs, dogs? Man's best friend. What about cats? I have 12 cats.
That sounds like that's a lot of cats.
And
that's
nice about cats. Can I get a t-shirt?
Let me connect you to the promotions department.
All right. John, how did you feel during this call? Now, in retrospect, knowing that we were recording it, do you think that you would have done things differently?
No. I feel like I immediately punted to one of our awesome events for pet adoption,
yep.
Made it about dogs and cats. At a certain point, though, you got to just go to the promotions department. There's only so much you can do.
Oh, yeah. When all else
bribe
fails,
them.
Just send them to the promotions
That's
department. That's what we do. I do like the spin that you did about how all the, like, the good stuff we do for rescues.
Thank
I thought
you.
That was a really good job. Let's see how Sean did.
Good morning, Yen and Raven. Your name and town you're calling from.
Why doesn't Raven talk about cats like he talks about dogs? Does he not like cats? Does he hate cats?
Oh, no. Raven loves cats. He actually used to have a cat himself.
But all he does is talk about dogs. What happened to his cat? Why didn't he get a if he doesn't have one now? Why is it always dogs, dogs, dogs?
Unfortunately, I believe Raven's old cat had passed away. He got two dogs, and I don't think he just wants friction with
cats.
The cats and dogs.
He doesn't have to stop getting cats. He just replaced his loved cat with a dog? Why is Anna's voice so annoying?
Anna's voice isn't annoying.
Have you heard her? That's what it sounds like all the time. Aren't you the producer? Don't you have equipment that can change her voice?
Hey, listen, if you want, I could try to mess with the voice levels a little bit.
So you're agreeing you'll change Anna's annoying voice?
I could do my best. I can't make any promises, but I will try my absolute best for you.
Can I get a t-shirt?
Hold on the line. I'll get your name and address, and I can send you a shirt.
Sean, how are you going to change my annoying voice? How are you going to do that?
Listen, all I'm saying is,
yeah.
And we're all aware of this, there are times you get really weird complaints like that,
uh-huh.
And I just think it's best instead of causing friction.
How many people
sure.
have you told that you're going to change my annoying voice to?
Right.
Do you want the actual answer?
Oh my gosh. All right. Good news, John. You won.
Oh, come on. Rigged.
Well, I mean, rigged. I think it reflects a different way of handling problems.
Yeah.
But you were both pretty creative.
It was good. It was good. Man, it's such an uncomfortable conversation to have to have with somebody. Like when you have to explain to your friend that like he's just not into you
yeah.
or she's not into you and they can't see it themselves, you know?
When you're so into somebody though, Like, you're blinded by that, man.
Yeah, 1-800-330-9999. How do you know when they're just not into you? My girlfriend has been dating this guy, and she's been on and off. And, I don't even like to use... Like, she calls him her boyfriend.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you've gone out on 4 dates in 3 months. I don't think that's your boyfriend.
Right.
That's like a, you know, but she's so head over heels for this guy.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to go out the last 2 weekends. He canceled on her the last 2 weekends. And she's like, no, but he said that his kids had to go do something.
Yeah, it happened at the last minute.
Last
this,
minute.
That, whatever. Right.
Oh, he's a great father. Yeah, I get it. But he's just not into you.
Right. Like
and I don't know how to say that. And it hurts because I can see it. But she can't.
I was out a while ago and similar situation. A couple in the group and clearly one of them is so into the other. And the other one is just when he would put his arm around her, she looked like she was actually shrinking.
Oh.
Like she was fading away from the arm being wrapped around. And he's so happy and
yeah.
proud.
Mm.
And she's just running away like one of those nesting dolls that's inside of something that's just getting smaller.
Right.
Like, looks like a human being, but it's just smaller compared to the rest of us that are people. And every time it seemed that he went to put his hand around her or touch her, she turned into the smaller nesting doll.
I see.
It was rough, man.
Yeah.
It was rough to be part of it.
Have you ever, like, realized somebody wasn't into
yeah.
you?
Yeah. You know, I mean, after I got divorced, and my first relationship after being divorced, very much was infatuated with this person, thought that it was going to be, you know, a big thing. And, you know, when you're coming out of a divorce, like, you think, I'm never going to love anybody again.
Right.
Forget it. But then you realize, over time, I realized that she was really into the spectacle of what was my regular job and what I was doing on a daily basis and DJing at clubs and stuff like that. Like, she just wanted to be part of the party. She didn't really, you know, she wasn't
into you.
She was, you know, she was like a girlfriend, but she wasn't like into me.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't the same level.
I dated this guy and I really liked him. And I was blinded. And I all of a sudden it dawned on me because we had spent the entire night before and I was telling him about my family, about my brother and my sister and all that.
Sure.
And then it was like
personal things for you.
Personal things.
Right.
And then 2 days later, something came up. And I was like, oh, my sister. He's like, oh, you have a sister? And I thought in my head,
what?
What? And
right.
I go, like, you weren't even listening. I go, and if you really are into somebody, you're paying attention.
Yes, definitely.
When they speak, especially about their family.
You're riveted
right.
by it. I mean, you could miss one or two things, but the fact that you have a sibling.
Right. was
right.
a big deal.
It's kind of a big one.
And that was such a red flag for me. I'm like, no, this guy's not into me. He's just nodding and smiling and going with the motions.
Yeah, sometimes that's how you find out.
How do you know that they're just not into you? 1-800-330-9999. Last 2 weekends, my girlfriend's been going out with this guy. I don't even like to say the term going out because they only got out 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
But he has canceled on her the last 2 weekends to do stuff with his kids. Something unexpectedly happened with his kids, which she thinks is so admirable. And I understand that. But I'm from an outsider looking in, I go, no. He's just blowing you off. And that's an easy way out.
You think that he's hiding behind the kids then at that point?
Yeah.
Easy excuse?
Yeah, exactly. And like, how are you going to question that?
Right.
It's tough.
Right.
So how do you know somebody's not into you? We asked around the office. They said this. I thought it was interesting.
They give you looks, man. You move closer, they move away.
There's a lot to be said about body language, right?
Right.
Like the body language. Like Diane wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, that when you invite them to come inside and they decline. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good, you know, indication right there. It's like they physically don't want to be near you.
Yeah, unless they're vampires.
Well, they're
right?
that.
But I think once you're invited in, then you're good as a vampire.
I think so.
Yeah. That's the rule with that.
1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. How do you know they're just not into you?
Well, I'm single and I've been dating for a long time, you know, going on the dating sites and all. You could tell because they just ghost you. Like, I would go on a great date, and then that's it. They don't call you. They don't get back to you.
They just disappear out of nowhere.
Or that person got hit by a bus. All right? What happened? I mean, decades ago, we used to think that maybe they were, like, called away for something big, right? Maybe,
what?
Maybe they got drafted, right? Maybe, you know, could be anything.
I never once had a guy not call me, and I'm like, oh, no, he got drafted.
He got sent to war.
Another one got drafted.
Well, yeah, I mean, you think the worst, right? I mean, you just don't know.
Oh,
right.
He's serving our great nation. What
right.
a, what
that's
a
right.
hero.
That's right.
Oh, that's why he didn't call me back. That makes
right.
sense.
He's forgiven now.
Yeah.
Right. When he gets back, maybe we can try it again. Right.
Anna and Raven, how do you know they're just not into you?
Okay, guys, it's so clear, but if they won't take you out with their friends, they don't like you. They're just keeping you on the side. They have to want to bring you around with their friends and their close friends.
That's really good.
Right. They don't even have to introduce you as, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, whatever. Just the fact that you're around them, right? Yeah. Because if not, you're the invisible person.
And if you don't want to meet you, he doesn't want them to meet you, or she doesn't want them to meet your friends, then how serious can they possibly be about the future? Yeah, no, you're right.
Nope.
Good one.
That's a good one.
Yep. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How do you know they're just not into you?
Well, for me, it's the phone, okay? If I'm going out and they answer every single text or check their phone more than two times the entire time, because I'm conscious of it. Right. I'm always looking for that. So when they're always texting or doing something, looking at the phone, feel like they got to check it. It's like, come on, this ain't it's not happening. I can't even hold your interest in person.
That's true. If they're looking for some sort of distraction the entire time, that's a good one.
But it could also be that they're just addicted to their phone and they don't even realize
could
they're
be
doing
that.
It. Yeah.
There's a lot of that nowadays.
And I want no part of it.
Maybe they're a neurosurgeon. Could be a neurosurgeon.
Yeah. If they're going to the hospital to service anybody who's sick, then it's okay. That's it.
Right.
Trish wrote on our Facebook page, when they'd rather do anything than hang out with you. Examples I've heard. They have to go to the racetrack. They have to go to their sober meeting. I feel like right there, you're like, wait a minute. Wait, hold on.
No, but you can't vilify somebody that has to go to a meeting.
Right.
But I mean, have we learned nothing, Trish?
I know.
Come on.
The racetrack maybe, though. Right? A little?
All right, the racetrack's a little bit different.
Yeah.
All right, but the meeting, yeah, they should probably go if they say they need to.
Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Nick and Marie. Marie, let's start with you. What's going on?
My husband, Nick, I got into a minor fender bender. I rear-ended a guy. So my car is in the shop for a few weeks. I'm trying to get a rental car, but then they tell me all that is available at the time is like these big SUVs or something. So it's going to cost me out of pocket like $60 a day, which is just really not worth it. And I don't want a big car like that. Nick refuses to let me use his car. He works from home. He won't let me use his car to work. He won't let me run errands. He doesn't even use the car.
All right, Nick, why won't you let your wife borrow your car?
I mean, she just doesn't really have a good track record, clearly. And I told her I'd take her anywhere she needs to go. It's not like she has to drive a car. I mean, she has the ability to get where she needs. She wants to drive. I don't trust it.
Huh. How many accidents have you gotten into?
I've like four, but it was like for over 6 years. Like, I feel like that's not that much.
Kind of is.
It's kind of.
Kind of a lot.
I mean, ask me how many I've had in 6 years.
How many have you had, Raven?
Zero.
Oh.
Thanks.
How many have I had? I had one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, a deer.
No, that was not including the deer.
Oh.
The deer, I mean, other cars. I've only hit one other car. I've hit several inanimate objects and, unfortunately, animals.
A but deer, right, yeah. And a bird. Those are actually animated objects. They're alive.
Right.
Well, not anymore.
I guess the big question is like, if he's offering to drive you, why don't you just let him drive you? Like, if my husband said, you can't take my car, but I'll drive you anywhere you want, I guess I would be annoyed. I'd be like, give me the keys. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, because it feels like it's about control or freedom. Yeah, no, I get that.
I mean, we could see what our audience
on the other hand,
say.
I get that. I wouldn't hand my keys to somebody who had four accidents in 6 years.
I mean, it's a bad strength. Let's be honest, Marie. Right. It's not this.
And where does
good.
It end?
Yeah.
But I'm not a bad driver, and he works from home, so I don't see the problem.
Right? I mean, if the car's just sitting in the driveway, like, you have to trust your wife to take the car. Let's see what our audience says, because they may, I don't know, they may agree with you, Marie. It's a control thing. It's not fair. Nick, hand the keys over to your wife. She's your wife. They may see Nick's side, too. She's got four accidents. He doesn't feel comfortable lending her his car. And it's just a few weeks till you get your car back. You're going to have to suck it up and deal with it till then.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Marie has gotten into another fender bender. This is her, what did she say, fourth one in the last 6 years?
Four in 6 years, yeah. And she rear-ended somebody this time. So there's no question. It's 100% her fault this time.
Yep. and the car's in the shop. She doesn't have a rental. She doesn't understand why her husband, who works from home, won't let her borrow his car to travel. He says, I'll drive you around, but you're not taking my car. You hit everything.
Yeah, Nick's totally again. He's happy to provide rides when she needs it. Rideshare is fine. She could talk to friends. It's only a couple weeks at this point, but, you know, she basically dug the hole and she's got to sit in it.
But she's like, what kind of husband doesn't let their wife drive their car when they need their car?
Mm.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
Good morning, Ann and Raven. I'm on the wife's side. He should lighten up and let his wife take the car. Four accidents does make me pause, but I got to go for the wife.
Sometimes bad things just happen all in a row, and you don't know why.
Four. Remember? Four times.
But remember, I hit the deer, I hit the car, and then I got pulled over for that speeding ticket, and it was all in a matter of 3 months.
Wait a minute.
It happens sometimes.
First off, you hit the deer. That was a bad set of circumstances, okay?
Yes.
But you hit the car. That was an accident, so that was a mistake made at that point.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one?
I got pulled over. Remember?
Yeah.
We had to go to court together.
Right. But you were speeding then. So
but
two out of three of those were 100%. Your fault.
But it never happened again. It's been like, what, 6 years? And I've been good ever since.
But it happened her Tuesday.
All right. Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Marie got into another car accident. It was a fender bender. It's her fourth one in the last 6 years. Car's in the shop. She doesn't have a rental. She does not understand why her husband, Nick, will not let her use his car. He works from home. It's just parked in the driveway. Like, stop being a jerk. Let me use your car. I'm not going to hit anything.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a mystery. You get into an accident with your car, all right? She's going to get hers back in a couple of weeks. Guess what? It might look good. It might be shiny and all put back together at that point, but it ain't going to be the same. Whenever your car goes through a major accident like that, it's never the same when you get it back. So is it so hard to understand that Nick likes his car? I mean, he likes it enough that he wants to hold on to it, that he'd like to, you know, make sure that his investment stays safe. That's what he wants.
It's his wife. She wants to use the car.
Well, she's a terrible driver, possibly.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on her side. It's his wife. He should let her use the car. That's what insurance is for. If you get into an accident, that's why you have insurance. But he should stop being so rude and just let her use it.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, I'd buy a crappy car and let her drive that. I mean, if that's rude, I don't know. Well, I mean, is that rude or is that practical?
I would be very upset if my husband said I could not drive his car. Actually, he jokes that they're all my cars and that he just drives whatever one I'm not driving right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's true. You do show up in whichever one you feel like.
I do. Right. Hannah and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side because my husband would drive my car and it would come home with like dents and everything, and he would never know how it happened.
Right.
And it's your car. It's like a piece of you. You drove it for so long. And four car accidents, like, yeah, no.
No, I'm with you. Right.
Thank you.
Your car is a tool that you have for you. You selected it. Ann and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the husband's side. I think if he's offering to drive her, then there's no problem. And cars are expensive, they're sentimental. Loaning one out is, like, testy, even when there's not an accident record. And to have four accidents in 6 years, and at least one of them is her fault, I'm on the husband's side.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Nick, our audience agreed with you. If it's your car, then it's your decision. And Marie, you're going to have to respect that.
I mean, okay, I'll try.
Yeah, Marie, I mean, if you don't want to suck it up and get the rental car and pay the fee of $60 every day, and I get that. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want to do that, especially on the days where the car is barely going to move. That's one thing. You know, you can Uber or whatever. But, you know, on the other hand, talk with your friends or whatever to kind of lessen that blow. But not for nothing. You made your bed. You got to lie in it, kind of.
But he's my husband. And also, my friends are not my caretakers. Like, it's not their issue. It's my husband's issue.
Well, I wish you luck. Yeah. Listeners disagree. I mean, Nick, I mean, I feel like this conversation is going to keep going on for a while here, but you got to be relieved. I mean, at least your car is safe.
Yeah, my position hasn't changed, and, you know, she'll be all right. She'll be all right.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Melissa, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Melissa.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not really.
When that big door closes, Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. That jackpot is up to $800. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play, Melissa?
Yep.
Okay, number one, LeVar Burton is trying his hand as the Jeopardy host this week. What PBS Kids educational show did he host for 23 years?
The Reading Rainbow.
Number two, Simone Biles pulled out of the Olympic gymnastics team finals, and now she's announced the individual competitions as well. What celebrity that she had a crush on surprised her when he showed up in Rio in 2016?
Zac Efron.
Number three, Ariana Grande premiered her first promo video with Blake Shelton, John Legend, and Kelly Clarkson to promote the upcoming season of what show that she is joining as a judge?
American Idol.
Number four, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis don't bathe very often, and they also don't make their kids take baths. Ashton says, and I quote, "If you see the dirt on them, clean them. Otherwise, there's no point." They met on the set of what sitcom?
That 70s Show.
And number five, Kanye West is living inside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium while he's finishing his new album. In what city will you find Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Sacramento.
Okay. Not bad, Melissa. Let me bring Raven back in. All right, Raven. Okay. Melissa got 3 out of 5.
Not too bad, Melissa. Not great. Let's see how I do.
Number one, LeVar Burton is trying his hand as a Jeopardy host this week. What PBS Kids educational show did he host for 23 years?
Reading Rainbow. He's great. A lot of people want him to be the new host. We'll
I think he
happens.
Will be. I think he will be. Number two, Simone Biles pulled out of the Olympic gymnastics team finals and the individual competition. Hmm. What celebrity that she had a crush on surprised her when he showed up in Rio in 2016?
Zac Efron.
Yes.
Yes, I remember that. That was nice.
Number three, Ariana Grande premiered her first promo video with Blake Shelton, John Legend, and Kelly Clarkson to promote the upcoming season of what show that she's joining as a judge?
They have to be The Voice.
That's right. Number four, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis don't bathe very often.
I saw that.
And they also don't make their kids. Ashton said, and I quote, "If you see the dirt on them, clean them. Otherwise, there's no point." They met on the set of what sitcom?
That 70s Show. You think that that's for real or they're just saying that?
No, I think that's for real because I don't want to say I agree with them, but I don't think that you should give your kids baths every day, and I don't bathe every day. I don't think it's good for our skin. And for, like, Dakota, the little one, I'll give her, like, 3 days. I mean, I'll clean her, but not, like, her hair and full bath, you know? So I'm in the middle on that. All right, number five, Kanye West is living inside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium as he's finishing his new album. In what city will you find Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Hotlanta. He's in Atlanta.
That's right. I'm sorry, Melissa. Raven beat you 5-3 this morning. We're going to hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. My name is Melissa, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you for trying.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.